the Santa Lucia mountain range delineates the boundary of the California Central Coast maritime-influenced grape-growing region. Head a couple miles inland from the ridgetops of the Santa Lucias, and you'll suddenly find yourself far from the cooling influences of the summertime fog and ocean breezes. The San Luis Obispo Wine Country Association represents 30 coastal growers and producers who specialize in cool climate varieties such as Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. But there's also an ever-growing lexicon of cool climate varietals with roots in Spain, Portugal, and southern France such as Albarino and Tempranillo. The Central Coast has a worldwide reputation as a premier wine-producing region that includes obscure coastal pockets from Cambria in the north all the way down to northern Santa Barbara County. The largest area plantings, along with some of the best-known wineries, grace the Edna Valley and the Rio Grande Valley. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join Heather Moran, Executive Director of the San Luis Obispo Wine Country Association. We'll also visit with the winemaker at Claiborne and Churchill, located in Edna Valley, just south of San Luis Obispo. And then we'll stop in at Leticia Winery in the coastal hills near Arroyo Grande for a visit with sparkling wine producer David Hickey.
Heather Moran, we're at the Biddle Ranch VRBO guest house in the heart of the Edna Valley. I'm with San Luis Obispo Wine Country Association, and we represent a beautiful gem of a wine region here in coastal San Luis Obispo County. We're a very small artisan wine growing region with about 30 member wineries. You know, as far as the Edna Valley and Arroyo Grande Valley AVAs go, they've been established for over 30 years, but, you know, people are really starting to find this area and really recognize the wines and this region as a world-class wine-growing region, especially for Pinot Noir and Chardonnay.
Visualizing, it's a long and narrow relative to wide. From the south and north, what's the breadth of the coverage?
So our wine-growing region, it extends from the northern part, San Luis Obispo County, at the Monterey County line, all the way down to the Santa Barbara County line. But it's really coastal, and when we talk about coastal, we're talking just 10 miles from the coast. So the wines that you taste here are all very Burgundian-style wines, so Pinot Noir, Chardonnay excel here. We also have beautiful aromatic white wines, so Albarino, Gewürztraminer, Dry Riesling, just to name a few. So in all, I think what really makes this region excel is that coastal influence that creates a really nice long growing season for us and also keeps a really nice balanced acidity in the wines, so creates really intense flavor profiles in the wines.
I think one of the unspoken secrets of the Central Coast wine growing is that, you know, and I know there are some trucks that leave here loaded with grapes that are headed for Napa and Sonoma to be processed.
That's true. That's really the untold story. And, you know, part of my job is really to tell the story of this wine region and promote the wines and the wine growers here. And in that case, you know, it helps kind of build our region and build the wines up so that people can keep the grapes here. You know, obviously produce more fruit here, sell more fruit here, and, you know, increase the amount that's grown and basically produced here. Because that is a big issue where a lot of the wine is going out of the region and into blends. And we know it's really, really fantastic wine. So that's part of our job is to really grow that message and make sure people are aware of the Edna Valley, Arroyo Grande Valley, and the surrounding wine-growing regions.
And these are wines that are so exceptional that labels from right here you could find in Washington, D.C., in London. Tell us about some of the brands that somebody might find around the country and overseas that are from right here.
One of the longest established families, I should say, is the Niven family. They started producing grapes out here in the 70s, and they have several different labels, including Baileyana, Tangit, Zocker, Cadre, just to name a few. Also, another growing family in the Arroyo Grande Valley is the Talley family. Also, they've been growing wines and wine grapes since the 70s. Also, ag producers, they also do some farming out there. They've produced a lot of great Pinot Noir, Chardonnay under the Talley label. And some of the other families out in the Edna Valley, Claiborne and Churchill, which Clay and Frederica Thompson have been owners and winemakers and growers since about the early 80s. And one of their winemakers is actually here, Kobe Parker Garcia. He makes some fantastic Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and also some of those Alsatian wines, the dry Riesling that you tasted, and also the Gewurztraminer. So some really delicious aromatic white wines.
Tell us about your passion and the wines that you make.
So, you know, at Claiborne and Churchill, we're all about the unusual, or I'd say unique, aromatic white wines. As Heather said, we do a lot of the Rieslings and Gewurztraminers, but we also do Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc, Dry Muscat, you know, and these are all wines that are inspired from the region Alsace, which is a small region in France that used to be part of Germany and kind of got bounced back and forth throughout time. But, you know, it's a wine region that's really known for their aromatic dry white wines. And so, you know, back in the late 70s, Clay and Frederica spent a summer walking the Route de Vigne in Alsace and really kind of came up with the idea of making these wines in the United States. So back in 1981, they were both teachers at the University of Michigan, left their profession there, moved out to California, and pretty much started Claiborne and Churchill in 1983.
Tell us a little bit about your passion as a winemaker and what you bring to the table.
So my whole passion is just trying to create the best wines possible and really kind of showcase the vineyards and the different areas that we grow grapes and we make wines from. So
all your product estate grown?
No, we're not estate. We do have 12 acres of Pinot Noir here in the Edna Valley, our Twin Creeks Pinot Noir, and then we have 2 acres of estate Riesling. We've contracted with various vineyards from Monterey down to Santa Barbara County, but the chunk of our vineyards are here in slow wine country between San Luis Obispo here in the Edna Valley and Arroyo Grande Valley. So, you know, we work with what we consider some of the best vineyards on the Central Coast.
And a website?
ClaiborneChurchill.com, first commercial straw bale winery in California. My name is Kobe Parker Garcia, winemaker at Claiborne and Churchill.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate that.
All right. Tell me more.
Oh, tell you more?
A little more.
You're off the hook.
All right, cheers, you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, so what the association's been working on these last couple years is really just growing awareness. And one of the things that we do to grow awareness is we host 2 annual events each year. One is Roll Out the Barrels. It happens June 23rd through 26th this year. And that's a really great event. We host a really fun event out in the Mission Plaza. It's a grand tasting. We have live music, and we get all the wineries out along with all of our local chefs and pair up some great wines and delicious delicacies out there.
And there's advanced tickets for that?
There are. You go to slowwine.com, so slowwine.com, and that'll get you ticket information where you can purchase tickets. And we also have a Friday night collaborative winemaker dinner this year, and that's going to be hosted at Claiborne Churchill with Kobe Parker Garcia and a whole host of other winemakers. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have lots of other events taking place throughout wine country. These are really unique to us as they're very educational events. So a lot of it is going out in the vineyards, learning pruning demonstrations, and really connecting with the winemakers. So this year is a really special year that we're rolling out these new, very educational, intimate events for consumers. And then in the fall, we have our Harvest on the Coast celebration. That pretty much follows the end of harvest. It's this year, November 6th through the 9th. And that event, the Grand Tasting, is hosted out at the Avila Beach Resort. Again, we've got lots of our local chefs and restaurants and paired up beautifully with all of our wineries and winemakers. And we host a very rambunctious live auction. Last year, our live auction, we raised about $20,000 for a local nonprofit. So it's a way for us to give back to our local community. And it also helps, again, support that message of what we're doing here in San Luis Obispo wine country.
Heather Moran, thank you so much for sharing. This
is
another wonderful day in paradise.
It is. Come visit us soon.
Where we go, a website?
slowwine.com. That's slowwine.com.
Very good. Thanks, Heather.
Now let's join David Hickey, sparkling winemaker at Letitia Vineyard and Winery.
We started off as Maison d'Hôtes. We actually started off as Pressoir d'Hôtes a long time ago, early 80s. We only made sparkling wines. That was the focus. Since then, our main focus has switched to Pinot Noir, production of still wine and Pinot Noir, and we'll taste a bottle of that later too. But the sparkling wines, from the beginning, that's our roots right there. The vineyard was planted with the idea of producing grapes for sparkling wine. So the cool marine influence that you're obviously feeling this morning is exactly why this area was chosen for vineyards for sparkling wine. And we wanted to produce three varietals, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and Pinot Blanc. Which is the unusual one when we're talking about the traditional blends of champagne. But the original owners felt that the Pinot Blanc from Chardonnay was a better blender than the Pinot Meunier from California. So they went with Pinot Blanc. So that was our three plantings of the vineyards to begin with. Since then, of course, we've made a lot of wines. We experimented with the vineyards, found out what we liked as far as the still wines go, and there again, the focus shifted that way. The rosé in particular, we've experimented over the years with various percentages of blends. This wine, we start off with about 70% Chardonnay in it. Just found that the Chardonnay here, with that being really the primary wine and the base wine, when I put the red Pinot in, that gives it the color and all the fruit that really comes through the nose, the palate, I feel like that Chardonnay just lifts it. A little higher percentage of Chardonnay than what many of the California producers are using in their... When I make the rosé, I'm really looking for what I feel makes the best wine. And so if it's a little more color one year, a little less color, I'm not really concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is how she finishes up. We're doing about 7,500 cases of sparkling wine now, with about 75,000 cases total production in the winery.
We've been speaking with David Hickey, sparkling winemaker at Letitia Vineyard and Winery.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,